Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh, the Wisconsin DMA and the International Society for Strategic Marketing. I hope you'll say hello out there. I've been having trouble with that chat message thing. People have tried to message me on YouTube. I got a really good one the other day. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. Asking about a particular technique that might work with informed delivery. Anyway, let's get over to the news. And let's start with environmental responsibility, not price, might be the primary value driver of the future. Really some thoughtful stuff from Deanne Campbell. I thought so. And the point she makes is that in ages past, you know, I mean, we had Jackson's department store, which was like a general store when I was a kid in our little town, and we had a pharmacy that had a soda fountain, and I remember when the A&W came to town and how big a deal that was. But we just didn't have a lot of choices, right? If we wanted to drive through the back roads, we could get to Waukesha, and there was a JCPenney. There wasn't a store, but there was a catalog pickup there, so we could order from the catalog and go pick it up when it was in. But the truth is, there weren't very many choices. And so we were a catalog house. The Sunset House was a big thrill, and the Sears catalog, and of course the Penny's catalog. But days have changed. Now, online shipping has placed nationwide, if not global, product choices in the palms of consumers' hands. I want you to think about that. You know, I can't find Earl Grey tea that I like, so... And nobody will ship me any Sainsbury's. I gotta talk to Phil about that. He promised me some. That's my favorite brand. It's not expensive, but it's not available in the U.S. I have ordered other tea from the U.K., and I have ordered Earl Grey from Sri Lanka. And it wasn't that expensive. I think it was 50 packets for $10 or something. So, you know, a couple of cents, 20 cents a piece or something. Anyway, that's the world we live in. It's a fantastic world, really. And you can cut out the middleman to some extent. Somebody's putting it in a box and shipping it from Sri Lanka. But though price and convenience, and I really appreciate this line, are still the top purchase drivers among shoppers, a preference for sustainability is growing exponentially. And I'm a big believer in sustainability. The question is, what is sustainability? And that is the kicker. And it seems to be worth thinking about for your company. You know, we pushed a lot back in the 90s for arguing that direct mail was sustainable. You know, at the time, the main thing in landfills was newspapers. Newspapers went to landfills. I remember we used to have paper drives, and we would collect papers from our neighbors and stuff, and we would take them to Palapak, and they would shred them up and make some sort of cellulose insulation that they could blow into houses. I guess it worked. I don't know. Didn't pay much, but, you know, it was something to do, and it was sustainable, right? But not many. And there, you know, I remember the products where you could wrap your Christmas catalogs into a log and throw them in the fireplace. It didn't burn exactly correctly, but, you know, it kind of worked. So sustainability is a nice buzzword. More than 70% of consumers believe it's important for brands to be environmentally responsible. Another tough word to think about. And the issue is, if you can buy from Amazon, Office Depot, Target, and Staples, and all have the same day delivery, who should you buy from? And it's probably some issue not related to the product, because, you know, they're just putting it in the box and getting it to you, right? It's probably something else. Maybe they're stand on other social issues. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of social issues. And, you know, the thing that I want to caution everybody about is that embracing one of these social issues puts you up to criticism, and also oftentimes the things that are environmentally responsible now in 20 years ago, or 20 years ago and 20 years from now will be totally irresponsible. You know, I hold two patents on a recycled cement product made from something that goes, that puts millions of tons in landfills every year. That'd be a pretty good thing to get done. It was a real uphill battle. We made some progress, but, you know, the cement industry is very, very entrenched, and they have rules that were tough to follow if you're making a different formulation, and I understand all of that. But the point is that the most sustainable issues are probably not the label on the box, let's just say. Okay, and so here, there's a point. Consider the recent criticism of North Face. Okay, so you say, what's that criticism? Maybe you missed it. Let's get over to that, and we'll see what we can do with that one.
I'm Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy. North Face recently came out against my industry, even refusing to let one of my competitors put their company logo on a North Face jacket. I went through North Face's website of wide-ranging products, and I failed to find a single product that wasn't made out of oil and gas. The great majority of North Face's products, jackets, backpacks, outdoor pants, shirts, shoes, hats, etc., are dominantly made out of the oil and gas that we so proudly produce. Globally, 60% of all clothing fibers are made out of oil and gas. For North Face, it is likely 90% or more. So North Face is not only an extraordinary customer of the oil and gas industry, they are also a partner with the oil and gas industry. So thank you, North Face. And you're welcome.
You're welcome. So anyway, there's something to put in your pipe and smoke, if you like to smoke. And it's something to think about because, you know, I was thinking just this morning, you know, here, okay, you say, well, here's my mug. That isn't oil and gas. That's ceramic. Yeah, but it had to be fired in a kiln, right? And that probably was driven by oil and gas or electricity. You have the coffee. Where did that come from? Probably South America. And it had to get here, probably on a ship, probably with oil and gas. The coffee maker, powered by electricity. The pumps that pump the water here into the building, powered by oil and gas, coal mostly. And you say, well, we can have solar. Yeah, okay, that doesn't work. Those solar towers are coming down, and the amount of concrete to put those in was unbelievable, and the amount of steel. It's just, it doesn't pay off. Testing comments. Hey, thanks. Thanks for the test. And so it's tricky. Sustainability is important, but I think it might be more important to educate shoppers on what sustainability is. Now, you take a North Face product. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, polypropylene and all that. I love that stuff. They ask me at the grocery store, would you like paper or plastic? I say, oh, I love plastic. I'm a plastic person, if you've seen my show. Anyway, you know, but plastic can have multiple uses. I told the checkout girl the other day, I'm using your plastic bags when I make bread. And I pull the plastic bag around the whole bowl that has the bread dough in it to let it rise. It's much easier than saran wrap. Much, 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 much. You know, saran wrap, I'm lucky to get one use out of it. Probably not even that because it crumples up and it takes me two or three tries just to get it over a bowl. But, boy, plastic grocery bags work just super for people that don't have the dexterity needed to run saran wrap. So I'm okay with multi-use products. Grocery bags. Find uses for grocery bags, okay? I use them for trash bags. That's two uses. It's better than nothing, right? Then we should incinerate it and generate electricity because we use a lot of electricity. That's what Minneapolis found. The city of Minneapolis, one of the green, sustainable places on earth, found that the best way to deal with trash, the most environmentally sustainable, was to incinerate it. Go figure that out. Never mind, CO2 is a trace atmospheric gas. I don't think it's even 1%. And of that, only 3% is man-related, even with all our coal power plants. So you just can't impact Anyway, it's an interesting hypothesis, and I'm willing to entertain alternative views. But there are alternative views, and they're not just from marketing guys. If we want to get sustainable, we got to get to nuclear, and consumers don't like nuclear necessarily. It's safe. It's powerful. We're getting there. That should be the only road we really worry about. If you're on an island, yeah, put up a windmill, put up solar. If you're on a sailboat, solar's great. For the rest of us, we've got 200 years of oil and gas, which will get us to nuclear. We're all set. Let's not fight about it. Let's be okay with North Face's products, and then let's throw them in an incinerator. Oh, let's go on. So what about the CO2 of data? It turns out just data farms itself are 4% of the world's global carbon emissions. So if you're anti-carbon, which I'm not, the Sahara Desert has shrunk 8% since the year 2000. What about that? And the UN attributes it to higher CO2 levels. There are benefits to CO2 that you don't realize. But anyway, so data has a carbon footprint. And most difficult of all, H&M's sustainability push is failing to resonate with consumers. This is really an interesting concluding article, right? Thank you very much. And in 2010, H&M launched its conscientious collection of clothing made from organic cotton, recycled polyester, and other sustainable materials. It's only sustainable if other people are making first-run polyester, right? You can't recycle what it wasn't made. So let's not ban polyester, right? But let's gather it up. And, yeah, if we can melt it down again using electricity, right? We melt it down again, make more polyester. So we used oil, turned it into polyester with electricity and with probably natural gas run the refineries. But then we melt it down some more and remake it into more fabric, and then we incinerate it. Makes perfect sense. And what about organic cotton? You know, I learned back in history class that the Egyptian Delta could raise cotton for thousands of years because it flooded every year. Except with the Aswan Dam, that's kind of been ended and made a mess of Egyptian economy. But the southern United States, the soil was depleted for cotton. They had to keep moving west. And that would have ended slavery, most people think, without the Civil War. But that's another question. You get a lot of background information here. Okay, so 9,000 consumers were surveyed. And they placed H&M outside of the top 100 for sustainability and only 80th place in the UK. Why? Maybe it doesn't seem authentic enough, or because its consumers are already happy to have something less sustainable. If you're into fast fashion, what do you value more, the fast or the sustainable? Excellent questions. This is an excellent article because it says if you can't compete on price and delivery, maybe you can't compete on sustainability either. Maybe you should find something else. You know, maybe you should have a greeter at the front of the store like Walmart. Okay, historically, the brand has been seen as a pioneer in the arena of partnerships and sustainability. Maybe the clothing is ugly. My wife keeps saying, everything I see in the stores is ugly. You know, taupe and drab green. You know, and she's Italian and likes the bright colors, and I like her wearing the bright colors. And, you know, they don't want to do those because they're not sustainable. I have no idea why. Maybe it's the wages they pay their garment workers. I mean, there's so many extra issues that can pop up. And North Face, you know, what they did basically was they said that somebody called up and said, we want to order 400 jackets. Let's say it was Chevron or something, 400 jackets and put Chevron on them. And they wouldn't do it. And they made a big deal out of it in public relations. And they thought it was really great. And now they're getting pushback because, you know, if you chart just the lifespan, the average lifespan took a great jump from the 30s up. And you know what? It correlates almost exactly with the use of coal, oil, and gas. You can look at all of human history. The lifespans were about the same. average life expectancy, you know, was in the 30s in the Middle Ages and got up to maybe the 50s by the end of the 19th century. But by the 20th century, all of a sudden, it's up in the 70s, and now it's maybe pushing 80s. And that's mainly because of the reliable power that we get from the oil, gas, coal industry. So don't let's just be too quick to jettison it in the name of stuff that we're not going to like when we can't get, you know, I saw South Africa's doing, I forget what they call it, clipping or something, where your power's off for a few hours a day and then it's on for a few hours a day. And it probably doesn't save much because when the power comes on, I want to run my air conditioner, you know. I mean, I have missionary friends in the third world country that have 12-volt batteries powered by a charger that then runs through an AC inverter that powers their computer because the power goes on and off and on and off all the time. Levi says, buy better, wear longer, and that appears to be resonating. But, you know, one of the things that's true is that the survey suggests a certain degree of skepticism and perhaps fatigue from consumers. It's everybody's saying it. Everybody's saying that it's global sustainability. And what does it even mean? Right? It's hard to say. When a city like Minneapolis decides that the most sustainable use of garbage is incineration to generate electric power, that tells you that a lot of our stuff is on the wrong track. So as marketers, we have the power to change the world. Let's change it for the better. But let's find out what the better is. In the Sahara Desert, they're using cows, and they have more CO2. You know, I know cows get a bad rap, but they put cows out in the desert, and they turned it into farmland magically. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart.